Hello, it is time for the Last Show podcast. It is November the 13th, a Thursday. On the show today, we talk about the New York City subway brawl where that woman got slapped open-handed style. We also talk about the college football playoffs, controversy, and what really is the key to get into the Final Four. This is Courtney Shane Williams, your host on the Last Show podcast. Thank you for listening to the show. I called it the last show because this may be it.
Make
it the music
song,
comes
buddy.
In now.
Look, knocked up 9 months ago, go. What she gon' have, she don't know, no. She want the old soul, cause hip-hop is old. She don't want no rock and roll. She want platinum and icy gold, gold. With a whole lot of something to fold. If you were obstacles, you cold, drop me cold. Cause one monkey don't stop the show. Little bear is bad, in these streets she done ran. Ever since when the heat began, I told a girl, look here, fall back. Let me
welcome
hold
to the Last Show podcast. I'm feeling energetic, and we can make money talking to loud today, looking at my levels, feeling good. Thanks for listening to the Last Show. This is episode 30. Maybe that's why I'm feeling good. This is 30 of these. That's right. This is the 30th episode, and it's the first one you're listening to. So how is it going? Welcome to the Last Show podcast. Big story of the week. Woman got open-handed slapped on a subway in New York. Who would have knew? Not to say that this doesn't happen all the time, but this is the first time it got caught on camera. And with the era of domestic violence that we're in and the Ray Rice and all that other stuff, it's news. Anytime somebody gets slapped on camera, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's news. The best part about it is, the video that's gone viral now is, it says the man smacks the soul out of the girl. The soul, I guess maybe that's how the kids are talking now. You don't smack the hell out of them, so you smack the soul out of them, which is a great description because I saw her soul leave the building as she laid on the ground. Why am I laughing? You probably think. Because it's funny. I mean, that's it. I mean, if something's funny, I laugh. I mean, that's pretty much the premise. It could be wrong, and it's funny. I mean, I'm going to laugh. And then after that, you know, I'll, you know, reprimand the funny part. I will say, that's probably where I'll struggle having children. Because I think of things that I did that were not the brightest things, but they were funny. And somehow my parents didn't laugh. They didn't laugh in my face. Maybe they laughed when they, you know, went to the other room. Or maybe that night when they talked, they were like, man, that kid is funny. But, I mean, if I have kids, I'm probably going to laugh right there. And then it'll be tough to discipline them. But it was, this girl got smacked on the subway. If you haven't seen the video, you know, YouTube it. I don't know where you've been. Since the video got released, 4 people have been arrested. 2 charged with felonies. I assume the man and I mean, you gotta charge the man. But it, you know what, this all started out because somebody was making fun of somebody's 8-ball jacket, which is so near and dear to me because I never got to get an 8-ball jacket. So I sympathize with this guy because maybe during the 8-ball jacket frenzy, he didn't have the cash to get a jacket, and then finally he gets a jacket, it gets cold, and he's like, yes, it's November, I'm breaking out the 8-ball, and he gets on the 8-ball jacket, and all of a sudden, these girls get on the train, and then it ensues.
Damn, you petty as hell, you can't even afford this now. Nobody told you, why are you doing that for?
If you haven't seen a video, you're probably thinking, well, what, why was everybody laughing? You know, the same reason I laugh, because it's funny. You know, and people automatically are going to come out and say, oh my God, they shouldn't have been standing around laughing. They should have been helping out. I want to find all these people that help out during fist fights that they just didn't start. I want to find these people and figure out what the hell is wrong with them. You, who are these people that walk the street, is trying to spot fist fights and mismatches? Oh, well, they only have two people. They got five people. They got two. I should jump in on the two people side and help out the fight. Who are these people that jump into fights that is none of their damn business? Honestly, you know, not saying you let a woman get beat up, but that was a 4-on-5 situation. It was four girls. And on top of that, if you watch it, he actually didn't jump on the girl. He jumped on a guy. So maybe a guy jumped in that knew them. You know, maybe it was one of these random guys. But the bottom line is, it was a 1-on-1. Who's jumping in on a 1-on-1? I mean, honestly, all these people hyperventilating. And I went to high school. That's the last time I got to see a group of good fights. That's the last time in high school. There hasn't been one instance where I've seen anybody jump in that wasn't involved in the fight. Like, honestly, I've never jumped in a fight in my life that I wasn't related to somebody in a fight. I ain't even break up a fight if I don't, you know what I mean? I don't know you. I don't know what he did. I don't know. I seen a dude get his ass kicked at Walt Disney World. It's a true story. I was leaving, me, my brother, and my sister, we were leaving the House of Blues in downtown Disney. And this dude got beat up at Disney World, dude. And we watched it, and then we laughed. Why? Because it's funny. Anytime you get beat up at Disney World, it's funny. The same way it was funny on that train. And I don't understand people that say, oh, he should have jumped. No, you shouldn't. Stand back and watch the fight. Now, if it had been a guy on a girl, okay, yeah, get in there, break it up, you know. But this was guy on guy. These are two guys fighting me, honestly. Enough with y'all. Shut it up. If you were going to help anybody, you should have helped my man with the 8-ball jacket, man. He was outnumbered. 5-on-1. Come on. I think, though, the real hero in this whole situation is being overshadowed. Because you know what? People only look at the people in front of the camera. No one ever looks at the people that are behind the scenes, making sure we get all this levity in a life that can be depressing. The real hero in this situation is the cameraman. That's right. The dude holding the camera, the dude was skilled. She slapped the camera out of his hands like 3 times, Kanye style. You know, he could have ended the whole operation there, gotten a fight with her, or ended it. He could have been the guy in the 8-ball jacket. Hit her with a slap, and then we never get the footage. But he was focused. He got the camera slapped. He picked the camera back up. He got the camera slapped. He picked the camera back up. And got the camera slapped, picked it up again. This guy was like a reporter in Afghanistan. He would not let his pride get in front of a good story. He should be celebrated. Then he watched it. Then he gave you the world star. I mean, he was on display. I want to find this guy. I want to find this guy, and I want to pay for his Subway for a month. Honestly, not the Subway food Subway. Relax. I'm talking about his Subway pass for a month. Email me at myspace.com/CourtneyShane, because I don't check MySpace and I'm not paying for your Subway. But this guy's a real hero. I'm telling you. Kevin Durant said it best. You the real MVP. So the whole situation is it's funny to me. I will say this, and I heard Whoopi Goldberg say it on The View. Yes, I watched The View. And she said, hey, that girl deserved to be slapped, which, if I agree with that or not, doesn't really matter. But the second thing she said is important. The next time you go out, you don't know who you're slapping. A man shouldn't ever put his hands on a woman. Shouldn't do it. With that being said, though, nobody knows who. You don't know what kind of day people go through. You don't know how people are raised. You don't know. And the guy seemed like he might have been a little slow, like not mentally challenged, but just a little off. Maybe homeless. I don't know. I mean, you're in a train in New York. These are random. Some of these people, you know, he didn't look like he was struggling, but he was wearing an oversized 8-ball jacket. You know, maybe, you know, he got that from the Goodwill. Maybe this guy, you don't know. He might not be right. I know one thing. He wasn't afraid to slap her. And he took it for, he took the harassment, and she was harassing him, and they were harassing him, and he took it for a while. So most guys are probably going to say something before that, or shut up or whatever and leave the car and go to another car. But you don't know who you're running up on. And so let's just be a lesson to you guys out there that are listening. Hey, if you're going to do that, be careful. And if you do, please have a cameraman like my man, the real MVP that was holding the Samsung Galaxy, I assume. Only other thing this week was the college football playoffs came out. The rankings came out, rather, for the Final Four. And basically, we're down to the wire now. It's like 4 games left in most leagues. Some leagues only 3 games because they don't have a championship game. The big controversy is TCU or Baylor. What's going to happen with the SEC? What if Florida State loses? Like, those are the big topics. First off, the TCU-Baylor thing, head-to-head matchups should matter when it comes down to a tiebreaker. The committee doesn't view TCU and Baylor as being in a tiebreaker. They clearly see TCU as being a better team. It seems as if TCU loses 2 games, they're out of the playoffs. But regardless, if Baylor... Okay, I got confused. TCU and Baylor both have 1 loss, yet TCU is in the top 4. So they view TCU as being a better team. They're viewing all these teams on an island and not necessarily connected to a team. Not, okay, this team beat this team, so this team got to be over this. That's not the way they're viewing it. These are independent operations. In a vacuum is obviously the way they're viewing the team. And they view TCU's schedule and how good they are independent on where they lost. So all these people saying, oh, Baylor should be over TCU because Baylor beat, you know, TCU. Okay. That's not true. Because Baylor didn't do what TCU did. If Baylor had done what TCU did, then they'd be higher. And they haven't. TCU's schedule is better. They view them as a better team. And you know what? They are a better team, you know, in everyone's opinion. And if TCU loses, they won't be in. But that's the bottom line. It's not about who you beat. It's about who you beat in relation to where that other team ranks. It's about who you beat in relation to who else is on your schedule. So it's clear. It's about the schedule. That's it. The SEC seems like they're locked into at least 1 team in the Final Four. You'd be surprised, but I thought they had a really good chance to get 3 teams in. But all these dudes just started crumbling. And maybe it is too hard for any team, for that matter, to lose 1 game a season. But now, and a lot of these guys are two games now. Auburn's 2 games. Ole Miss is 2 games. Like, you know, Auburn or Miss kind of let down the conference. I mean, they had to do a lot to go down the rankings. And even a team like Auburn still in the top 10, I believe, and they've lost 2 games. So the SEC is crumbling. Ohio State is in a horrible spot. Losing to Virginia Tech seems like the worst loss in the history of Ohio State. Actually, I take that back. The blowout losses to LSU and Florida, those are not good. But I heard someone, and full disclaimer, I'm an Ohio State fan. But I heard someone say, oh, Urban Meyer at Ohio State, you know, that's his first win against a top 10 team when they beat Michigan State. That's his first win against a top 10 team since he's been at Ohio State. Yeah, that's kind of a flawed stat because this is his third year there. This is third year at Ohio State. The first year, they didn't lose any games. And the second year, they lost two games. And the two games they lost was one Michigan State, one bowl game. So essentially what you're saying is he lost two games against top 10 teams and won one game. So in 3 years, they've lost two games against good teams, and they've won one of the two. So they're 1-2. And so it's a ridiculous stat. It actually makes them look better the more you think about it. What makes them look bad is Virginia Tech. But the quarterback was injured. If the quarterback's healthy, they're undefeated, you know? So then what are you going to say? Oh, well, Urban Meyer, you know, he's only lost two games since being at Ohio State. I mean, what kind of record would that be? You know, but of course the Virginia Tech thing is a blemish, and it stinks. As an Ohio State fan, and even somebody looking from the outside, 3 years. In 3 years, Ohio State has lost two regular season games, and they have nothing to show for it. But it looks like they need a lot to happen to get in. The bottom line is they need Alabama to beat Mississippi State. Then they need Alabama to lose again. And they need the winner of the SEC championship to be a two-loss team. And that team does not need to be Alabama. That team needs to be like Georgia, because Georgia's not getting in no matter what they do. And a loss in the Pac-12 would be nice, too, for Ohio State. The funny thing is about the Pac-12 is I don't know how good it is. And everybody keeps bringing up Stanford. Stanford stinks. They stink. They stink. Let me say, Stanford is awful. Like, Stanford's getting this credit because Andrew Luck went to school there. Like, he's not there no more. They stink. They can't score. That team gets in the red zone and misses field goals. Like, they stink. They played Notre Dame basically to a standstill. And guess what? Notre Dame's probably not as good as we think they are either. So they're getting credit for beating Stanford. Oh, that was a tough – that's not a tough team. Stanford, honestly – Stanford's no better than Penn State. I'm telling you, they stink. And Penn State, they stink too. UCLA is a good team. They're middle of the team. They're a good team. You know, I think the Pac-12, however, and the Big Ten, I think they're equal. And I think that'll come to light during the bowl games. Which brings me to the most important things that these rankings show me. Bowl game history matters. That's it. You want to know the reason behind these rankings and where they are and why Ohio State can only lose one game to a bad team, granted, and be 8 and not be in the 4 and have two loss teams. Well, every two loss team is behind them, but not be able to leapfrog other one loss teams like an Arizona State that has no real tradition. It's because the bowl games of the Big Ten has been sucking ass, and they should be better. And they haven't been better in bowl games, and now it's coming home to roost. That's the bottom line. Had, you know, Michigan won the bowl game a couple years ago or a few years ago, they'd be better. Michigan is nothing now. I mean, they're a 500 team. They're average. They're an average team, you know. Even though Michigan State did beat Wisconsin did beat Oregon, and even though Ohio State manhandled Oregon in the Rose Bowl, what was that, 3 years ago, and even though the Ohio State did beat Arkansas in the Sugar Bowl. It's like none of that matters. The country pretty much sees that there's four good teams, two possibly great teams, and the Big Ten, and that's it. And if they don't play each other, it doesn't matter. It's almost worth the Big Ten going back to what they used to be, which is actually 10 teams and not like 13. And everybody playing everybody, because then Ohio State would get to play Wisconsin. Ohio State would get to play Nebraska. Ohio State would get to play still Michigan State and Michigan, and they could keep all the traditional rivalries. But bowl history is everything, and that's another reason why Florida State's playing a tight rope act. If Florida State loses a game, they're going behind the two lost teams in the SEC. Like, no one believes Florida State is as good as they think they are or they're perceived. But they're undefeated, so they're in there at the 3 spot. They're below one-loss teams. I mean, so The bowl game means everything. Hopefully, you know, not hopefully, and I'm an Ohio State fan, but things are going to work themselves out. And truth be told, I'm not sure. I'm more sure now than I was a week ago, but I'm not positive Ohio State could beat Alabama or they could beat Oregon. But I'm not sure they could beat Alabama or Mississippi State or Florida State. I'm not sure. But it'd be nice. It would be nice to see. And things work themselves out. Don't hyperventilate. You know, when the rankings first came out, they were like, oh, my God, how are they going to do that? And as the season goes along, teams lose and they fall off and they work themselves out. So that's that. I'm going to conclude the episode there. Thanks for listening. The Comedic Pros website is going on a little bit of a construction, but you won't even notice. I'm actually moving the site onto my personal website because I'm tired of logging in twice. Lazy. That's why I'm moving it. So that move should be happening pretty soon. However, you can always go to Comedic Pros, Google Comedic Pros for all the latest. You can get all the podcasts there. You can also go on iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, help a brother out. In addition, go to my website, check out all my shows, see where I'm going to be at. I got to host Seattle Comedy Competition, but the next show really is Christmas Day weekend. I think the 26th, 27th, I will be at Laughs Comedy Spot. And I got a New Year's show, January 3rd, over at the Easy Monkey in Seattle. Come check that out. It's going to be a fun night. Tickets are for sale, and those should be going up soon. So thanks for listening to the show. Please subscribe. Check out the website. Also, check out my YouTube page on youtube.com/kshanecomedy. And follow me on Twitter, @CourtneyShane. Thanks for listening to the show. Until next time, holla at your boy.
But thanks for your time. Then you can thank me for mine. And after that said, forget it.
Aha! Aha! What do you know from funny, you bastard?